Okay, so we are holding on Lamed Gimel, Omud Aleph, line begins with Tachtonish or Boyal Nida, about 15, 12 lines or so from the top. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that Kusim, because they're suspect of being Boyal Nidos, because as we're going to go on to say later, their wives are not don't know and are not so careful about all the dinim of a Nida, so therefore it happens that the men are Boyal Nidos. So we said that therefore we consider their Mekamim Mishkav Tachton Ke'eldon. So we said, what does that mean? It means that when it comes to a Zov or other Tmeim like a Zov, anything that's Elyon, anything that's above them, which is called Madas, is Mekam, it becomes Tomei from them as a Rishon Latruma, and it's Mekamim food and drink. It's not Mekamim people or Kalim. So like, for example, an umbrella over him, let's say, or whatever. On the other hand, the mishkav or whatever that a zov would lie or sit on would be an abatrum, it would be metame people to the extent that their kalim, that their clothes would be tome if they sit on it, and it's also metame kalim. So what we're saying is the tachton of a boil nidah, the chair or bed or what have you, that a boil nidah sits or lies on, has the same din as the elyon shel zov, namely that it has tumah, but only a minor degree of tumah, it's only a rishon l'tumah. So that's we discussed yesterday, we finished off the discussion, how we know that the Elyon Shel Zav is only a Rishon LaTrumah. Where do we learn it from the Pasuk, B'chol HaNegeya B'chol HaShiyah Tachtav, and since the Pasuk says Yitzma, it means that it's not a strong Trumah, it's only a weak Trumah. So now, with Tachtonish or Boyal Nidah Menolon, where do we know in general, leaving aside the Kosim for a moment, first we have to establish the general principle that whatever is under a boil nidah becomes a rishon l'truma, and then we can say that by the kosim, since it's a suffix, whether they are, then the chachamim impose that. So the tachtonish or boil nidah menolon. So where do we know that the bed or chair or what have you that's under a boil nidah? Where do we know that is metame as a rishon l'truma? The Tanya, we learn in a brisa. The pasuk describes that if a woman is nidah and a man has relations with her, the pasuk says u'sihi nidasa olav who. Her nida should be on him. So first of all, the Braisa says, Yoho Yalu L'Ragla, you would think that means that he follows her as far as the dates when he becomes Tomei or Tahor. Let's say she became a nida on Sunday. We know that she's Tomei through Shabbos, and then Matzah Shabbos, she's able to go to the mitzvah. So we would think then that what the Pasuk, now let's say, for example, he has relations with her on Thursday, the fifth day of her nida days. You would think with Sahini Dasa Olav means that now he has a degree of Tumah like she does, but it ends at the same time, so they can both go to the mikvah Matzah Shabbos, you would think. No, Tamad Loimar. Therefore the Pasuk says, Yitma, the Tomei, Zayin Yomim. Therefore the Pasuk says he will be Tomei for 7 days. So if he has relations with her on Thursday, then he's Tomei from then until through the following Wednesday.
What are we saying he does? That's what we're going to see.
So what are we learning from the words of Sihini Dasa Olav? So Shiyachol Loyitama Adam Uklechev. You would think then that the Boyal Nida, maybe he has a minor degree of Tumah, but he's not able to Mitame people or Klecheres by touching them. Therefore, the Pasuk says by saying "Usihini Dasa Olav," it doesn't mean that it ends on the same date as her. Because again, what it means is just like she is Tomei Nida for 7 days, so is he Tomei from Boyal Nida for 7 days. But they don't start and they don't end at the same time, because they only start obviously when he was Boyal Nida, and they last for 7 days from then. She became Nida on Sunday. He had relations with her on Thursday, he's going to be Tomei through the following Wednesday, even though meanwhile she becomes Tahor, and then she can go to the mikveh and be Tahor Matzah Shabbos.
That's what the Kusim don't do.
So we're saying that there's another issue with that. We're talking about soon, what the problem is with the Kusim. But the point is that with a regular Boyal Nida, just a regular Jew who is Boyal Nida, so again, we're saying, the whole pasuk goes like this. The im shachav yishkav isha. So if a man lies with her, with a nida, or sihi nidasa olav, then her nida status will be upon him. The tomei shivas yomim, he will be tomei for 7 days. The chalam mishkav, ashi yishkav yitma, any bed that he lies on will become tomei. That's how the whole pasuk goes. So we have like this, in other words. The fact that it says, sihi nidasa olav, you would think, means that you would think means that when she is no longer nida, then he's no longer boyal nida. We're saying that's not the case. He has to have 7 full days, counting from when he had relations with her. So that we learn from the word shivas yomim. Or sihini dasa olav teaches us. Usehini Dasa, all it teaches us the degree of Tumah. Just like she, if she touches people or Kalim, she makes them Tumah because she's an Ava Tumah while she's a Nida, the same way, during his 7 days after he's Boil Nida, he's also Matami people in Klei Chayas.
He's an Ava
Tumah. He's an Ava Tumah as far as that. But e mahi osa mishka v'moisha v'tamei odim v'tamei v'godim. In that case, you would say there should be another comparison. Just like she sits on a bed or sits on a chair, or she makes that bed or that chair itself an avatoma, which is therefore matame people and their clothes. If a nida lies on a bed and then somebody else sits or lies on it, then he and his clothes become tame. So you would think afu oisa mishka v'moisha v'tamei odim v'tamei v'godim. The boil nida in that case should be the same thing. He lies on a bed, same rule, because after all we're saying was tehini dasa olav. No, tamad loyma. Therefore the pasuk continues v'cholam mishka v'shiyishkav olav yitma. The pasuk continues any bed that he lies on will become tame. Now, she'en kind of loyma v'cholam mishka v'shiyishkav olav yitma. It didn't have to say that. Once we know tehini dasa olav, automatically we should know that all the rules that apply to a nida apply to him. As we just said, that they're both metame people and klecheres. So why do we have to add that? Uma tamad loyma v'cholam mishka v'shiyishkav olav yitma. It means nitkayat kosov mituma chamura behaviyah legetuma kala. It means, like we said before, about the oyonah shalzav. It means the Torah pulled it away by adding these extra words. The Torah is removing it from tuma chamura behaviyah legetuma kala and bringing it to a lighter degree of tuma. Loy malach teaching you she'ena matame ela oichu namashkin. His bed is only going to be matame food and drink. His bed is, in other words, is only addition to tuma. So in other words, now we understand the whole process. The im shach of yishka vishay. So he lies with her. The tomei shivas yom, and he is tomei 7 days regardless, even if it was at the even towards the end of her nidah day. Sahini dasa olav. She has the same degree of tuma as far as her as she does. So they're both an ava tuma. The tomei shivas yom is tomei for 7 days regardless when during her nida period this happened. The cholam mishka v'shiyishka olav yitma. However, since the pasuk spells that out, mentioning about the bed, means only that his bed, unlike hers, is only a rishon l'tuma.
It was saying basically that he himself has the same degree of tumors as she does,
right?
But his bed doesn't.
Right, exactly.
And his garments?
His garments actually, I think we're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about that later, whether his garments are... Yeah, I think we say that his garments also are only a rishon. I think that's how it is. So that's where we learn that the bed or chair or whatever of a boil nida is only a rishon l'tuma. So that's what we mean when we said in our Mishnah now about the kusim that because they're boil nidas, their tachton is like the elyon of a zav. Now we understand what that means. It means, well, it's a tachton kelyon. It means their tachton, his bed or chair, has the same degree of tuma as the umbrella, let's say, of a zav. Both of them are rishon l'tuma. Both of them are only matami food and drinks. Okay.
And also the fact that it says nidasa.
No, that's the Bapashtas. The Bapashtas, I don't know that makes a difference. Yeah. I don't. At least over here, the Gemara is not telling us any nafkamina from that. Okay. However, Porich Rabachoy. However, Rabachoy asked a question on this, which is it's interesting. We had the same question before when we were dealing with the Oyona Shalzov, but there the Gemara just presented this question anonymously. Here we have Rabachoy asked. Achai, achoy, because I don't know, that's usually how it's spread. That usually it's written. Achoy. So it's with comments. And that's with a comment under the head. Just like Yechoy and other such names. Anyway, Yoichoy. So it's similar, yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that so it's interesting that before the Gemara presented the same question anonymously, and now it's presenting it in the name of Rabbi Achoy. So maybe what it was is first, maybe the sum of the Gemara asked it on the case of Elyona Shozov. They never thought to ask it on Tachten Shoboyom Nida until Rabbi Achoy came along. Maybe the other way around. I don't know. Anyway, so Rabbi Achoy asks, how do you know, you're saying that because it says V'cholam Mishkav Asher Yishkav Olav Yitma, therefore it means that his bed is only a Rishon L'tuma. You're saying because it spells it out, therefore it means that it's only a Tumah Kala. It's only the Tami food and drinks. But how do you know that? Maybe it means, sure, it means the pasuk pulls it away from a tumah chamura, brings it to a tumah kala, but all it means is the lo tama odim lo tamuri begadim. All it means is to the extent where it's not going to be matame a person who sits on the bed to the extent that his clothes will be tummy.
So what's the Gemara talking
about? Adam of Gadim Latami. Maybe, in other words, you should say that his debt is not Matame people or clothing at all. It's only a Rishon Matroma, so it's only Matame food or drinks. But how do we know, says Rabbi Chaim? Maybe what it is it's actually Matame a person who sits on it, but unlike the debt of a Nida, which would be Matame the person and his clothes are Tame as well, Matame Adam Latame Begadim, maybe we would say a person who sits on the bed of a Boyal Nida, he himself is Tame, but his clothes are not. How do you know? How do you know that it's taking it away from Tumah? How do you know that it's taking it away from Tumah altogether? If a person sits on a bed of a Nida, then he becomes Tame and his clothes become Tame. But we should say, if a person sits on a bed of a Boyal Nida, he becomes Tame, but his clothes do not.
Yeah.
And vice versa, if we were to take laundry and put it on his bed, we're saying before that it doesn't become Tame. We should say the clothes themselves become Tame. In other words, the bed would be an avatoma. It's just not as strong an avatoma as the bed of a nigger. How do you know? The answer is Amar of Asi, Yitma Tuma Kala Mashma. The word Yitma implies a very light degree of Tuma. Otherwise, it wouldn't have said Yitma. It would have said Yuchat, it would have said Yuchat, Sore Bamayim, or it would have said some other expression like that. So just like we said before, that the same answer as we used before, that Yitma implies a very light degree of Tuma. Okay. Fine. So then in that case, so that's what it means. However, Ema, maybe we should say, why are we darshaning it that we're learning that b'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav alav yitma is telling us a new din, that the bed of a zav is only metame as a rishon l'truma? Maybe we should learn it differently. Ema was tehini dasa alav klal. Maybe the words of tehini dasa alav, her nidros is upon him, is a klal, so meaning that it would include all the details of nidah. B'chol ha-mishkav prat, then when it mentions about the bed specifically would be a prat, klal of prat, and b'chol ha-mashkav prat, then it would mean that we reduce the klal only to the prat, mishkav amoshav ein midiachrin eloi. So maybe just the opposite. Maybe there was tahini dafa of means, to what extent is he like a nida, only as far as that his mishkav is matamid, but not, for example, that if he touches people or clay cheres or what have you, that he would make them tame.
Because we think it's a klal of prat.
Because we're all going to klal of prat. The answer is, Omar Abaya, yitma zayin yomim mafsakeinim. Fine, but if you had the words of Stahini Dasa Olav, and then right after it you had the Chol HaMishkav, then yes, you would say it's a Klal HaPrat. But here you have the word Yitma Shivas Yomim, he will be Tomei for 7 days. Well, Vitomei Shivas Yomim is actually how it says in the Pasuk, whatever. Mastika Inyan. That breaks it up. So now you don't have a Klal HaPrat anymore. Have a Klal HaPrat HaMeruchok in Zemizeh. Now it's considered a Klal HaPrat that are separated from one another. B'chol Klal HaPrat HaMeruchok in Zemizeh. And Dona Noisi B'Klal HaPrat. So if the klal and prat are separated, then you don't darshan them as a klal and prat. So therefore, so that's
separated by
they're separated by the words of Tamei Shivas Yomim. So if the Torah meant us
to be contiguous,
yeah, that's what Abaye is saying. Because we're going to have another explanation of Rav over here. So that's how Abaye learns that when you have a klal and prat that are separated, then it's not a klal and prat anymore. So therefore, it's not a klal and prat. It's the usahini dafta all of. No, so it's not that either.
Why?
Because first of all, not everybody darshins Ribui and Miut, you would also say Vipashtus that you don't do, if you're going to say that you don't do Kala Prat when they're separated, then you wouldn't do Ribui and Miut either. No, so, but what it means is, in other words, so we're back to, that a Suhini Dasa Olav means everything, and the Chola Mishkav teaches us one particular detail when it comes to Mishkav, that it's that Yitma, that's only a Rishon L'Truma. Okay. Rabba gives a different answer. La'olam donin, you could actually learn a klal prat even if they're separated. V'chol ribuyahu, but because since the Torah says v'chol hamishkav, that's a ribuy, then it means so it's not a prat, it's a ribuy. So you can't darshan as a klal prat, because the prat is not going to have the word v'chol in it. So it can't be a ribuy miut either, because the same thing, it would have to be a miut. What do you do? What's the word v'chol? What's the word v'chol doing in a miut? So therefore, it's not meant to be a miut. It's meant to be. That it's a separate, it's meant to be that it's a separate thing. Okay. Maski for Rav Yaakov. Okay. However, Rav Yaakov asks, Ema kihi. Fine. But so far, what are we saying? That the Boyal Nida is like the Nida. So we're saying maybe he should be like her, meaning Now, what happens to the nida? There's no difference between whether she touches something or whether she sits on something, or lies on something. Either way, latame odim or latame godim lachumra. Then we say both of them the lachumra. If a nida touches someone, then they and their clothes become tame. If a nida, if a person lies on the bed where a nida lay, then also he and his clothes become tame. So therefore, we should have the same equation the other way around when it comes to boil nida. Aku, so the same thing with the boil nida. Loi tachlok by ben magori lebeshkavoi. Don't distinguish between what he touches and what he lies on. Latame odim latame gadim lakula. We should be makel on both of them. That, just like with mishkav, we just said that, we just said a person lies on his mishkav, they don't become tame, and neither do their clothes. So we say also that if he touches a person, he's not matame. So, on the principle that if we have a similarity, lachumra, when it comes to the nida, and then we should have the same similarity, which should go lakula, by the boil nida. By the nida, we're saying that both of them, whether she touches someone or whether someone lies on her bed, either way, that person or their clothes become tame. We've already established that with the boil nida, his bed is not matami people, because we said it was yisma, which is a tumakala. Therefore, we should say the Torah is telling us that there's also a similarity as far the, that his bed is also similar to what he touches. That just like his bed is not matami people, in the same way, if he touches a person, it shouldn't be matami him either. Maybe it means, in other words, the whole tumah of a boil nida is specifically both as far as what he touches and as far as what he lies on is only it creates the rishon l'tumah.
For himself.
For food and drink, in other words, for food and drink. Okay, Rashi actually says that actually maybe we would say that fine. If he touches a person, he's not matame him to the extent of being matame begodim. Maybe we would say that's fine. Maybe the person is tame, but at least his begodim wouldn't. Amar Rabba, olav lahafine mashma. Fine, but when the pasuk says it was tihini dasa olav on him lahafine mashma, that word olav implies to be machmir. It means to impose something on him. So therefore, it means that the Torah is telling us to impose a strong degree of tumah. So sahini dasa olav can't mean that then we're going to learn that then we're going to use that mamasinu to say that we're being mako on him on everything, because after all, the word olav implies a chumrah. So therefore, we're left with what we said. If he touches a person, he is matame them and their clothing. However, if he lies on a bed, then that bed is only a rishon l'tumah and it's not matame anybody else who lies on it.
That's
the boil nida we're talking about here. So
to recap.
So to recap then, a boil nida we're saying that a boil nida is like a nida in that if they touch a person, then if they touch a person or they touch a keli, then they're matamit. But there's a difference between them. No, as far as the other person becomes an avatoma because their clothing becomes tame as well. So the person in turn is matame the clothing that they're wearing.
So it's an avatoma.
So right. So right. So.
That other person can
matame
somebody else?
No. The other person is only able to be matame the clothes that he's wearing. But on the other hand, there's a difference between the nida and the boil nida as far as their bed, that a nida's bed is also an avatoma, and it's also going to be matame a person and the clothes of the person who lies on it, and it can be matame clothing separately as well, as opposed to the bed of a boil nida, it's not matame people or clothing at all. It's only matame foods and drinks. Tosfos Rosh actually discusses over here, brings from the Sarmi Kutsi that discusses the Sarmi Kutsi is one of the Balei Tosfos, the Reb Shimshin Kutsi. From Kutsi, it's a city in France. Yeah. So he talks about that maybe actually we would say that maybe it's not quite the same thing. Maybe the boil nida when he touches a person is only the time of the person, not the clothing on him. Maybe when it comes to Klei Cheres, maybe it's the time of them only by touching them, not by causing them to move. Okay. Anyway. All right. The bottom line is that when it comes to the tachton, when it comes to the bed of a boil nida, it's only a rishon l'tumah, which is like the elyon of a zav. Okay. Then we said mishneishen the tachton of a zav is an avatoma. A zav is like a nida in that regard. Zav and nida and yodis in general have the same degree of tumah. say that whatever dinim applied to one of them apply to all of them.
As opposed to bone nida.
As opposed to bone nida.
Right. So the bone nida tachan
is only a rishon the truma, but the zav and zava and so forth would be an avatar. We said in the Mishnah of Neshe and Berlin, we said the reason why we impose that rule on the Kursim, and we say that their beds are Mekame, is because they are Berlin Nidus, because they have relations with women who are Nidus. So you want to say, what do you mean, alter Kula Berlin Nidus Ninu? Yeah, right. But the question is, what do you mean, alter Kula Berlin Nidus Ninu? What do you mean, all the Kursim are Berlin Nidus? Why should we assume that? I mean, basically, they keep the dinim of Nidus.
Well, they keep.
They don't keep all the details, as we're going to say. But still, but in particular, why should we assume that an unmarried kursi should be matame that way? Okay, sure, he could have been mizane, but why should we assume? Why should we assume that? So Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala says, you're right. In fact, this din about mipnei shein berulin nidus, and therefore about their beds, actually would only apply if they're married. Before they're married, then you wouldn't have that issue. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of the Hain Yoshvis al Dan Lechola, we said that the problem is that the Kusi women consider themselves nidah for any kind of uterine bleeding. So what does that mean? Tanya, we learn a Braisa, Amar Meir. What's the problem? In Hain Yoshvis al Dan Badam, if they consider themselves nidah, regardless what kind of blood, even if it's a different color, Takona Gdola Hilahem, then it's a big Takona. How could anything come wrong that? Every time they have a discharge, they're going to consider themselves Tommy for 7 days. What's the problem? How does it ever come about that their husbands could be buried in this? The problem is, as Rashi had said in the Mishnah, Ela should royas dam odim amashlimis oisul dam yorim. One thing is, we said, suppose that she has a yellow discharge one day, then she has a red discharge the following day. She thinks that her nida status began on the first day when the yellow discharge came. Therefore, she counts only 6 more days after that and then goes to the mikveh. Meanwhile, she doesn't realize she ends at a day early. By the way,
she's not nida through a yellow discharge.
We say she's not a nida through a yellow discharge, right? By the way, Tosfos points out, we did learn when we were talking about the colors in the second parak, we were talking about over there that the Reb Meir holds like Akavya ben Mahalalel, who says that Dam Yorik is Matame. So why over here is he saying that there'd be a problem? So Tosfos actually distinguishes, it depends what shade of Yorik. No, that's the same Reb Meir. It's the same Reb Meir. Tosfos is asking how Reb Meir is saying over here that they're not Tomei from a yellow discharge when he himself holds like Akavya ben Mahalalel, and then who says that a yellow discharge is Matame. So Tosfos distinguishes between two different shades of yellow. The one we were talking about before was a darker shade of yellow, and here we're talking about a paler shade, which even Reb Meir would agree is not. We didn't get into it. I mean, the halacha is not like Akavya ben Mahalalel anyway, but we mentioned that there's Yorek and Yorek. So that's the problem, is they end up counting their nida status earlier than they should, therefore they end up finishing it earlier than they should, and therefore their husband can be barely nida. Davar Acher, another explanation, what's the problem with the kusin, with the kusi women? Yom shepesekes boisei paucha l'minyan shiva. What happens? Suppose a kusi woman becomes a zava. Suppose, in particular, she becomes a zava gdola. So we know she needs 7 clean days. What happens is, on the day when her discharge finishes, she starts counting that already as one of her 7 days. Meaning, now how does it work? We know the way it works, afi halacha, is, so let's say a woman has a discharge on 3 days consecutively during her Yemei Ziva, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, let's say. So then she needs to have 7 clean days beginning from Tuesday night / Wednesday. She needs to have 7 full clean days beginning from Wednesday, running through the following Tuesday, and then the following week, Tuesday, she can go to the mikveh. Let's say on Tuesday, let's say the bleeding was very early in the morning. So let's say you could consider the rest of the day, maybe it should be considered the first of her clean days. We don't say that. We say that entire day is still considered a Tomei day. Well, that's how we hope. That's how the halacha is. So on the other hand, the Kusi women don't realize that. The Kusi women take the view that as long as the bleeding stops on the third day, sometime before Shkia, they will count it as the first of their clean days. So what happens, therefore, they consider Tuesday to be the first clean day, Wednesday the second, etc. Therefore, as far as they're concerned, Monday is their 7th day, and then they go to the mikvah on Monday, and that's that. Meanwhile, they're supposed to only go to the mikvah on Tuesday. So there's another case where it happens that because they don't follow the halachas properly, then their husbands can be burdened.
They should start counting after
from the day after the last discharge.
After the last discharge.
Right.
Now, what would happen if they wear the next day. So she has to go mix it after the end. Because they want to mix the baby before, would that work? Or it doesn't work?
No, well, it doesn't work. I mean, they're still tummy. B'yomim u'tvila tala rahmana is the expression the Gemara says. You need the proper number of days and you need to go into the mixer. So either one without the other is no good if you don't have any. Right.
So where do we take it from?
So that's where we're going to mask this Rami Bachama. The Rami Bachama asks on that. Nu, what's the problem? The Tisperenu. Fine, by all means, let her count that as the first clean day. But I'm not naming Tisperenu. As a matter of fact, we also should count it. The Kaimalon Mixafi and Kakoi. After all, we know a general rule that part of a day is considered like a whole day. So Taka, why not? Why shouldn't we consider Tuesday the bleeding stops?
So
exactly. Anyway. The bleeding stops sometime on Tuesday. Why should we not consider Tuesday the first clean day? Omar Rava, so Rava answers, the reason why not. Imkain, if you were going to argue that the first day already, that the day when the bleeding stops should count as the first day, then Imkain, Shichbas Zera, the Sosa, the Ziva, Heichem Ashkachisla. How would you have the scenario, suppose that you have, now like this, we know that besides for a zava, a zava gdola needs seven clean days. We know that also a zav needs seven clean days. A zava with two or three reis also needs seven clean days. Now we know that
two or three,
right? With a zav, one time makes him a balkeri, two times makes him a zav, and he needs seven. That's how the Torah says. But with a zav, two times is enough to make him tamei. A full-fledged zav. The only thing is he doesn't need to bring a korban. Three times is he also needs to bring a korban at the end.
We're
talking about zava. That's different. The zava, you have zava ktana with one or two days, and then you have zav, and then you have any zava gdola with three or more days. Yeah, we said there's also a difference that a zava, you have to have the bleeding has to be on consecutive days, whereas with a zava, it can be all on one day. Yeah, there's a number of differences. Anyway, the point is, we know that there's also a din. Suppose that a zav is in the middle of its clean days. Suppose that one of those days he becomes a balkeri, then he loses one day. We learned about that earlier in the Masechta. We talked about, I think, in the first parak, that you have, so let's say a person became a zav on Sunday. Let's say he had all three re'iyas on Sunday. So he has to start at 17 days beginning on Monday, we're saying. They run from Monday through the following Sunday, and then he can go to the mikvah after that. Let's say, for example, in the middle of that, let's say Thursday, he became a balkeri. He loses that one day, therefore he has to push off his mikveh for one more day. Instead of going on Sunday, now he has to go on Monday.
Like he would do if he didn't, he was not a zav. It would also be one day.
No, well, the difference is that if he had not been a zav, if he was just a balkeri, then he could just go to the mikveh on Thursday, and Thursday night he would already be tahor. But now, because he was a zav and he's in the middle of the 17 days, right? Okay, it's vaguely similar. It's not exactly the same thing. But we add to the balkeri. No, he was the other way around. He's a zav and then he became a balkeri.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. The point is,
zav is harsher than that,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right, so again, now he's in the middle of his seven clean days. He's supposed to be counting seven clean days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Sunday. Instead, he becomes a balkeri in the middle. We're saying now that he loses that one day, therefore it doesn't count. It doesn't destroy his whole count. We said so far, good, he had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Fine, Thursday we leave out as if Thursday didn't exist. Then he has Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday. And then he'll have completed his 7 days.
So we could have said, we start all over again.
Right, which is the case if a zava, because if a zava has bleeding during her 7 days, she does lose the whole thing. We're going to talk about that soon. Yeah. Okay, so the question, so Rava says like this, if you were going to say mixatei kakuloi, shichvas zera, the sasa, the ziva, heichem ashkachasla, how would it ever be possible for shichvas zera to cause a zav to lose one of his seven clean days? Well, mixatei kakuloi, because after all, mixatei kakuloi, so you would say, let's say on Thursday he became a balkeri, so what? You still have the rest of the day of Thursday. If you're going to say mixatei kakuloi, then Thursday should still count. We know it doesn't. So obviously we don't say mixatei kakuloi when it comes to seven clean days.
Maybe it's just in that case.
What are we saying again? We said that he was supposed to be counting Monday through Sunday.
Right.
He became a balkeri on Thursday, so we said Thursday is X'd out, and he has to do one more day if you through the following Monday. But if you said mitzvah koloi, like Rami Bachama is arguing, and like the Kusim were doing, what happens? So what? He becomes a balkeri on Thursday. So you still have the rest of the day of Thursday. Mitzvah koloi, so it should still care, as long as it's not before Shkia. So the Gemara says, that's the question. How would you ever have it? So the Gemara says, okay, Rami Bachama could answer back. As a matter of fact, yeah, maybe if he became a balkeri in the middle of the day, sure, we would actually say Mr. Saint Kukulai, and Thursday would count. We could say, when do we say that he loses an entire day? Is where the carry was close to Shkia, so there wasn't any time left in the day for it to still be considered mixed in.
So then he loses the next day.
No, he loses that day.
If he's close to Shkia.
Well, in other words, if it goes over, if it goes beyond Shkia, then it's another matter. But in other words, it stops right at Shkia, let's say.
He has a Balkari for a very short while.
Well, it doesn't matter. In other words, he could have been a Balkari all day. He could have been a Balkari for a few minutes, for whatever. Those few minutes happen to be right before Shkia.
Right.
So that would be the case where he loses a whole day, we could say. But maybe you're right. Maybe if it was earlier in the day, he actually wouldn't lose the day.
Okay.
So he must have
losing a whole day.
From his seven clean days. He knew that now, instead of going to the Mikvah on Sunday, he has to go Monday.
When he's becoming close to the Shkia, he loses that whole day?
What we're saying is, if we say mixtaseim kakuloi, like we're saying the kusim do, then we would say that maybe indeed we would normally say mixtaseim kakuloi, but if there's no mixtaseim, then he loses the day. So if in our scenario with the Zav, he became a Valkyrie in the middle of the day of Thursday, doesn't matter, he can still go to the mikvah Sunday like he was supposed to. But if the carry happened right before Shkia on Thursday, that would be the case where he calls out Thursday and ignore it and he has to wait one more day.
Because there was no time.
Because there was no time to say mixtaseim. What do you mean? What are you going to tell me? That the pasuk that tells us about the concept that a Zav loses one day as a result of Keri, you're going to say that pasuk is talking only about where it's close to Shkia? The pasuk doesn't say any such thing. The answer is yes. Hey, yes, as a matter of fact, al kochach, you have to say it. Shavke lekra, you have to leave the pasuk and assume that that's what it means. The ihu dochik umuki anafshi, because after all, the pasuk itself, because of the dochik of what we said on the grounds that usually we say mixtaseim kakuloi, the pasuk therefore forces us into that understanding that it would mean that we would say mixtaseim kakuloi, and we would say he loses a day only if the carry was samach l'shia fachan. Now, on the face,
the day is that day.
However, now, so it sounds like the Gemara has finished off over here. It sounds like Rami Bahama has deflected Rava's question. So in that case, we should say Mitzvim Gekuloi.
Why?
So then in that case, of course, they're doing the right thing. However, Tosfos points out, the fact is, later on, almost at the very end of the Masechta, we're going to have another discussion about this again, and the Gemara is going to mention over there that, no, that's the idea of the Kusim, but that's not our understanding of the Halacha. It is true, Rami Bahama does have his point that we should say Mitzvim Gekuloi, but the fact is, we don't. The fact of the matter is, the Gemara is going to discuss later on that we don't say that. The expression the Gemara has over there actually is when Rav, that there's a certain din that Rav says in this connection. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Rav Kusoy Amri L'Shmai say? What is Rav saying, his statement of something that only the Kusim would accept, and we regular, loyal Jews can't accept? So obviously the Gemara assumes that, yes, Rami Bachama has a very nice chesel over here, and he's able to deflect what Rav is saying, but nonetheless, that's not the halacha. So the halacha is that the day on which the bleeding stopped does not count as one of the seven clean days. And similarly, by a Zav, it doesn't matter when on Thursday the carry happened. It doesn't matter whether it was in the morning or the afternoon or what have you. Either way, we don't say Mr. Saint Nicolai when it comes to seven clean days. And that's that. So therefore, the Kusim are wrong in thinking that it does. And that's another reason why they're considered burly.
So what do you say? Rather young Kusim?
So we don't. No, that's it. We say that you need an entire day. An entire day.
Just
right, based on the logic that Rami Bahama is saying over here, we should, but the fact is we don't.
It doesn't say later on how we learn all that.
Later on Das Samachet, we said we're going to
try.
No, it doesn't.
How do you know what it says so far?
Well, because I look, but I on the side, Tosfos refers to it over here. Tosfos says, Ein ha-MSK. And the fact is, that's not actually the din. Mid-Parech, the Perek Basra, we see in the last Perek, the Gemara asks for that, because sorry, I'm with the Shmaitre. So the Gemara knows for a fact. Yeah, Samachet, yeah.
Okay.
It says Samachet. Yeah,
No.
Boy, Rami Bachama. So now in this connection, Rami Bachama has another question. Pelekes Shichbat Zerah. We talked about before that if Shichbat Zera comes out of a woman, so she had relations and then Shichbat Zera drips out one of the next couple of days. So the question is, Mahu Shetister Beziva, does that undo her counting of Ziva? So what does that mean? So in other words, again, we're talking about a Zava who has to count seven clean days. So if during one of those seven clean days, she's Polish Shichbat Zera, does that undo her counting? Does that mean that she'd have to start out?
How does she have a relationship?
The Rashi says the case is, let's say they had relations, Ba'avera. Let's say indeed that they had...
No.
Well, it could have been b'shogeg or whatever, but the Rashi just says to mention shim shabazoyim. So let's say, for example, while she was a zava, she had relations, whether it was inadvertently or whatever, and therefore, so then so doing one in the next couple of days, doing her 7 clean days after that, she's toilet shechvazera. Tosfos says you don't necessarily need that, because another possibility is the Gemara has, we talked about a few days ago, where the Gemara has a sugya and Shabbos on this issue of Perletus Shechvas Zera. That is the reason why there have to be 3 days of preparation before Matan Torah to make sure that everybody is Tahor. So the Gemara says over there that actually, now there's only a certain amount of time during which the Shechvas Zera, that she's Poilet, is considered to be Matameh. There comes a point when it's been more than a certain amount of time after Bia, then it's worthless, right? It's not fertile anymore. The Gemara has a few different opinions how much over there. The Gemara brings the opinion of the Rabbanan, which is the Halacha, that the amount is 6 complete oinos, in other words, 72 hours, and oinos 12 hours, so 6 times that is 72 hours. So therefore, what you could have is, Tosfos says, so let's say, for example, so you three full days. So therefore, you could have, if they had relations shortly before she became... 6 half days, right, which means 3 full days, right? So you could have, in other words, therefore, that she and her husband had relations shortly before she became a Zava. Then the next 3 days, later that day, she had her first Riyah. The next day, the second one. The next day, the third one. And it's still within the 72 hours from the Bia. So now what happens is, so let's say, in other words, so let's say, for example, they had relations, let's say, Motzei Shabbos. Let's say Motzei Shabbos. Sunday morning, she has her first Riyah. Monday, she has her second one. Tuesday, she has her third one. Meanwhile, you have until Tuesday night. The 72 hours only expire Tuesday night. So meanwhile, she could be starting to count her 7 clean days on Tuesday night. She does her Heftikara before Shkia, going into Tuesday night. And then Tuesday night, she's toilet. So it's still within 6 oinos of the Bia. So therefore, we can ask whether it's Tyser or not. No, the Pasha's not.
It's very hard to see if you don't know if it's from darkness or you know it's from Zava.
No, well, it's white. Shechvas Zera is white.
And
Zava is red.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right, those are different. Also, Tosfos says another point also.
It would come out immediately, not after 3 days.
Yeah, fine, but that's the point. It was still, so therefore does. So if we say that Poilet Shechvas Zera breaks up her counting, then it means that Tuesday night and Wednesday is not gonna work. So she has to start her count from Wednesday night. So she has to do another Heftikara Wednesday night and start then her first of her 7 clean days is Thursday. If we say it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter.
As though it's white that comes out, right?
As though it's off-white.
Off-white.
But a Zava, if Zava is like a ninja, it's red. Yeah.
If she's a Zava, it's going to be red. Well, it's going to be white.
Right.
Off-white.
Right.
So
as we said yesterday, that an ish is not metamin, but Odom, a woman is not metamin, below, then yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Okay, anyway, Tosfos also mentions another point. There's another case we could talk about whether Shechvas Zera breaks up the days. Nowadays, we know, we have the Takana of Rav Zera, that we say that that even if they have a tiny drop of blood comes out, they consider themselves like a Zavag Dola, and they need 7 full clean days, so therefore you could have very easily, they had relations, later that day, or the next day, or whatever, she has a drop of blood, so now she's Tomnei, but now, 2 days later, she's Polish, and it's still, whatever, we're again within the 3 days. Okay, so the question is, Rami Bachama is asking, therefore, is the Perlet of Shechvas Zera Maoshe Tister B'Ziva? Does it take away her days of Ziva and she has to end her 7 days of her 7 clean days after Ziva and she would have to start all over? Do we say Roya Hoysa? Do we consider that if she's Perlet Shechvas Zera, it's considered that she's Tomei on the grounds of Roya, on the grounds that there's an emission that came out of her, then it would be the same din as if she became a Zava again. So therefore it breaks off the days. Fine, but in this case, it's a type of Roya. So do we say that she's Tomei on the grounds of Roya, and therefore we say Seret, therefore it breaks up, she has to start all over again. Or Joma Negas Hoysa. Or maybe you say she's only Tomei on the grounds that she touched, that the outside of her body touched the Shechvas Zera when it came out. Veloy Sosra, therefore it shouldn't be Sosra, because a person is in the middle of their 7 clean days. They touch something that's Tomei, doesn't break up any of the clean days.
Just that one day.
It doesn't anything. No. This the example we had with the Zav before. If he becomes a Balkari on Thursday, we said he loses the 1 day. But if he, let's say, touches a sheriff, so he touches a boiled midder or what have you, nothing happens. Yeah, it's still good for 7 days. That's the question. Amar Rava l'fum churfa shabeshta. So Rava says, proportionate to Rami Bachama's sharpness is his mistake. In other words, Rava is saying that Rami Bachama is a very sharp Tamuz Chacham, but because of that, because he's so sharp, sometimes when he's thinking of a question, like he doesn't think through all the angles to see whether it's a valid question. Yeah, you have an expression, you can see on the side of it there, there's three other places in Shas where Rava says the same expression on Rami Bachama. It's interesting, it comes out, I think each one of them, or most of them, are on the top, happen to be on the top of an Amud. Anyway,
why?
So why is it Lefum Chorfa Shabeshta? Rava says, Nihi Nami Lefum Chorfa, in proportion to his sharpness, Shabeshta is his mistake. In other words, because he's so sharp, he wanted to ask a good question, but he didn't stop to think whether it is such a good question, whether the premises of the question are valid, whether the premise of the question is valid. Nihi Nami Desasra. Even if you were to assume, Rami Bachama, that yes, because she's Poilet Shechva Zera, she loses days, Kama Tister. You have to ask, how much is she going to lose? Tister Shiva, should we say that she should lose all 7 days? Or start the 7 days all over? Why? Daya Kabayala. She shouldn't be any worse off than the boil. A man, a Zav, who has Shechva Zera, is only Soyster 1 day, we said. Why should she be Soyster all 7 days? Why should she be? No, but she's not the source of the Sheikh Masera. If even the source of the Sheikh Masera himself is only losing 1 day, then why should Tisto Yom Echad? Would we say that she only loses 1 day? Can't, instead of seven. Can't. In other words, maybe we should make her like the Zav, that she just loses the 1 day that she was toilet, and then she resumes after that. Can't. V'achau tito Amar Achmana. The Pasuk says that she counts 7 clean days. V'achau tito, and then she becomes Tomei Amar Achmana, meaning achar l'kolon. The word achar means that it has to be one unit of time for all of them. They have to be consecutive. Shaloi tehei tumah machzekes b'neihem. There should be no tumah in the middle of it. So therefore, so you can't say that she should lose 1 day, because then it wouldn't be achar. It can't be 7 days, because why? Daya kabayla. Why should she be any worse than the boil who only loses 1 day? So therefore, Rava is saying that's the lefum chorba shabeshta, that Rami Bachama is asking this great question, this lomdish question, but he didn't think about the premise of it. Is it a valid premise? Well, so the answer is El Amai Yisroch
L'Mimah. It has to be seven consecutive.
It has to be 7 consecutive days of Queen. So there's no such thing as, like by the Zav, where we said that there could be one Tomei day in the middle, and then he resumes after that. By a Zav, but we wouldn't say that. El Amai Yisroch L'Mimah. So what would you have to say? You'd have to understand Shaloi Tei Tumas Ziva Machsekes Beinehin. So you would have to understand, therefore, that the Pasuk is saying that there shouldn't be Tuma of Ziva in between. In other words, that if she has a flow of blood anytime during the 7 clean days, and that's it, all of them are lost and she has to start all over again. But only Ziva. Hachanami Shaloi Tei Tumas Ziva Machsekes Beinehin. The same way we can say over here that all you need is that Tumas Ziva shouldn't interrupt it. But in this case, the Tumah of Prelatus Shechva Zera is not a Tumah of Ziva. It's a different kind of Tumah. Therefore not necessarily would it break up anything. The Pasuk says V'achar Tito, yeah. So in other words, it sounds like we would say that, actually what it comes out is that So it comes out, then Rava is saying, apparently then what we're saying is, it wouldn't be mastic at all. The answer is that Rami Bachama is asking the question, is it mastic? Does she lose her days? And the answer would be that actually it doesn't, that actually she doesn't. All it is you can't have Tumah of Ziva in the middle, but Achar Tito means it has to be consecutive days without Ziva, but apparently there's no problem if there's Tumas Keri in the middle. The Tumah in this case of Pelechus Shechvat Zera, which is within a few days after Tash Mishnah. So it wouldn't be an issue. So it would only apply to Ziva. However, with that said, though, Tosfos points out that we actually have we actually have later on in the perek, we say that Rava in this perek and the next perek, Rava says that Shaloi Tehei Tumah Masekes Beinehem, there shouldn't be any tumor in the middle of the 7 days. any truma of ziva or keri or whatever. So therefore, that actually would mean, would end up meaning that actually she would lose all the days. The halacha would be, therefore, that if she has peletus shechmasera during the 7 days, she does lose all of them. This is the basis, as we talked about the other day, of why it is that we have the halacha, why it is that the Rishonim talk about, Tosfos talks about it, other Rishonim talk about it. We have the concept of waiting 5 days from the beginning of the bleeding before she can even start counting the 17 days. We talked about the other day, in order to make sure that if she's poilet shechva zera, it won't be within the 17 days. Because if it were, then it would stop them and she'd have to start all over.
She should count 7 days.
No, so what we do is, so therefore what we do, no, so we have 5 and then 7. The reason for the 5, we talked about the other day, is you have 4 days because since we're saying you need 6 complete onus, they could conceivably have relations anytime during the day. So therefore you have to have, let's say they had in the middle of the day Sunday, then it runs through the middle of the day Wednesday, the 72 hours. So therefore you already have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are out. And you add a fifth day. And you add a fifth day. You add a fifth day and says it was Bein HaShemashos. The Truma Sedeshin says that. You add a fifth day. Once we make this rule, then Lloyd Plug, we don't distinguish. The only thing is, we said the other day, we do make the distinction for Besula, because we want to demonstrate that we understand that Tumas Besulam is not quite the same as Tumas Nida, and the fact is it's rare enough that anybody should have relations Bein HaShemashos, it's even rarer than a Chosin and Tala would, therefore we don't have to be gozer for that, but ordinarily that's where the 5 days come from, and only after those 5 days does she start counting the 7, that way it makes sure that there will never be the Tumah of Koyleta Shechvat Zera in the middle of the 7 days, because the Maskana is, Tosfos says, based on the Gemara later, that if you were to start the 17 days right away, the next day after the bleeding, then conceivably it could end up getting broken up by Peletus Shechva Zera, and we don't want that to happen.
Is not the problem over here. The problem is that she's a double, or she's...
Right, but what we're saying, ultimately, what we're saying is, acha l'kulam, ultimately what we're saying is her 7 clean days have to be consecutive, and there cannot be any tumor in the middle of those 7 days, any tumor related to bodily emissions during those 7 days. So not only it means...
Bodily emissions, it's something that comes from him.
Well, it came from him, but then it went into her, and now it's leaking out of her. So it's metallic.
Because 2 days... It's almost like saying, like, I'm sorry. It's almost like saying that, like 7 days she touched the sheriff and...
No, because that's not a trauma that comes out of a body, even. That's a trauma outside of her. That's neither here nor there. But once the shechva zera goes into her, yeah, and it's not hers, obviously, but nevertheless, when she's poilet, the fact is she does become tummy, for she does become tummy.
What do you have 2 days to Bein HaShemashos?
We don't. We have 4 days automatically because whenever you have relations, you have to count 72 hours from there. During all that time, the Shechva Zera is still viable. So therefore, automatically, that means 4 days, because the only way it could be exactly three days would be if they had relations like the moment after taking the chavim or something, you know. So other than that, if it's any other time during the day, you have part of 1 day and part of another, right? So therefore, so that's automatically 4, and Bein HaShemashos adds a 6.
Okay. So when do you start counting?
So that's the thing. So let's say, for example, that she starts bleeding on Sunday. So even if the bleeding ended that same day, let's say it was only one spot or whatever, we say that she has to still wait until Thursday. Only on Thursday, the fifth day, on Thursday in the evening, she can do her Hesetara, and then her first clean day would be Friday. Then she can start counting her 7 clean days, beginning from Friday and running through the following Thursday. So you end up having 12 days, Sunday through Shabbos of 1 week, and Sunday through Thursday of the following week, that she and her husband are all flemish to each other, and then she goes to the mikvah, and everything's back in order.
7 and 5. 5 and 7,
yeah.
Right, but okay. The 5 starts from
the day when she bleeds, as long as 4 o'clock is before Shkia, and that's the first of the 5 days. Yeah.
So the whole day counts.
Yeah, because again, Stop. The whole reason for this 5 days is only because in case they had relations, Bein HaShemashos, that then you're not sure whether to count from Sunday or from Monday, there's no reason to go through the, now there are actually, I shouldn't say there's no reason. There are actually Rishonim who for various reasons relating maybe to such things, they extend it to 6 days or 7 days before you can even, I believe the Sfaradim have that minhag. I believe some Sfaradim have the minhag that they have to count, that they have to wait 7 full days from the beginning of the bleeding before they can start counting the 7 clean days. But by us Ashkenazim, we don't hold of all of that. It's 5 and 7.
So they have what?
I think there are some of them. I'm not sure, but I think there are some of them that have 7 and 7. Yeah. But I'm actually right against it. He says that I don't know any reason for that. You can just start counting right away. But yeah. Okay.
So the 5 days is made of 3 days.
The day she actually started bleeding, suppose hypothetically she were to have had relations on Bein HaShemoshes from Sunday going into Monday, then we wouldn't be sure whether to start counting from Sunday or from Monday, to start counting the 72 hours for Perlata Shechvatera. Therefore, we consider Sunday one of those days.
The full Sunday,
therefore. Then you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then again, because Bein HaShemoshes, you have a suffix Wednesday or Thursday, so therefore you consider the entire Thursday, and then therefore only before Shkia of Thursday, she can do her Hefsekara.
And then
that Thursday, she does her Hefsekara.
Right.
Okay.
Years back was difficult, because years back, when it got darker, so it was dark.
Yeah, that's it. And that was that. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay, let's continue. The Gemara continued, the Mishnah had continued, the Ein Chayov and Alein al Bias Mikdash V'Cholo. The Mishnah had continued that suppose a person, for example, touches the clothes of a kusi who we're saying might be a boil nida, or suppose he wears them, let's say Rashi says, and he goes into the Bias Mikdash, he's potter from a korban because the whole thing is only a suffix. The whole concept that they're nidus and their husbands are boil nidus is only a suffix, and therefore we can't be machayev a person for going into the Bias Mikdash wearing such clothes or whatever because it's only a suffix for man. Because not necessarily always is there going to be an issue with that. Sometimes, first of all, it's not that common for a woman to be a zava anyway. Usually it's common for a woman to be a nidya, but a nidya, they know they have 7 full days anyway.
Oh, so
it's only zava that they have the issue that they count it, wrongly.
Oh.
Right. Okay.
I wonder why they make a difference between one and another one.
Right. Okay.
Is there any reason why they're making them, they call it by one?
Well, because by Nidya it doesn't matter. By Nidya it doesn't matter. Whether the bleeding is only on one day or whether it's on all 7 days, as long as it ends before Shkia on the seventh day, you go to the mikveh the night after the seventh day, and that's it. As opposed to Zava, you need 7 clean, as opposed to a Zava Gdoli, you need 7 clean days. That's the difference.
But it's stricter than that either.
Yeah.
We don't suspect. We suspect for a Nidya she might have had relations.
Right, and therefore...
Well,
in other words, we just say it's a suffix, and therefore, because it's only a suffix, therefore we can't say that we should burn truma that they touch because of it, or that we should, if a person wears such clothes into the Bais Mikdash, that he should be told that he should be high of a carbon or whatever, because it's only a suffix.
So it should be a suffix for the Zava also?
Fine, the fact of the matter is, we're saying that we consider them Zavit, we consider them Nidis and Boril and Nidis, Lachumra, but not to the extent of burning truma, and not to the extent of being high for the effect. So I'm going to tell the story in this connection. Rav Papa Ikol Tabach. Rav Papa one time visited Tabach, a name of a place. Omar, he says, if there is a young Talmud Chacham over here, Ezel Akabel Afe, then I will go and greet him, because there's a Talmud Chacham in town, I should go say hello to him. Omar Le'ahi Savta, so an old lady tells him, Ika Chacha Tzuvim Erabonon. Yes, there is a Tzuvim Erabonon, there is a young Talmud Chacham here in town. Rav Shmuel Shmei, his name is Rav Shmuel, the Toni Masnissa, he learns Mishnayas and Braises. And she says, she gives him a bracha, Yehei Rav the Tevi Kavasei. It should be Hashem's will that you should be like him. And the Rapapa, this is not when Rapapa was yet, Rapapa himself apparently was not yet the great Rapapa, the great Amorah. He himself was a younger man at the time, I guess. So she gives him a bracha that you should be like our local Talmud Chacham, Rav Shmuel.
I wouldn't expect it all to come from now.
Okay. Omar, so Rav Papa said to himself, if she's giving me a bracha that I should be like this Rav Shmuel, that means Shmamina Yirei Shemayim. He must not just be a Talmud Chacham, he must also be a Yirei Shemayim. So therefore, let me go to him. So Ben Yoyada explains, in other words, originally he was thinking, if he's just a Tzuvim and Rabbanan, then fine, I'll arrange to meet him in the Bais Medrash. But now, if I'm told if I see that he's also a Yirei Shemayim, I should go to his house and visit him out of kavod for him. So Rav Papa went to him. Rama Le Torah, and Rav Shmuel shechted on his behalf an ox, so to honor him with a meal, and also Rama Le Masnissin Hadadi. And then, being a Talmud Chacham, he pointed out to him a contradiction between Mishnayos. Let's see if you can answer that. What are we saying in our Mishnah that the tumor of the Kusim and of the Kusi women and of their husbands is only a tumor mistopic, and therefore we're not chai of a korban for bias mikdash if we wore their clothes or whatever, and we're not bruning tumor that they touched, or that somebody else somebody else touched their clothes or whatever, and then they touched tumor, that we're not going to burn it because it's only a stopic. But Rav Shmuel says, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Masech Tataris says, Al Shisha Sfeika Sofen at the Truma. There are six cases of Sofik where we do burn Truma. Usually we've been saying throughout this Masech, throughout other Masech, that usually when it's a case of Sofik, we don't burn Truma, we're only Tolin. But there are six cases where we do, and one of them is Al Sofik Big Day Amaoris, where you have a Sofik where somebody, let's say, touched clothes of an Amaoris, where the Amir Oreth are usually assumed to be Tomei, Misafik, because they're not careful in the name of Tumah Vatara, so therefore they may have touched something that's Tomei, or they themselves may have become Tomei and not realized it. So what happens, therefore, if a person touches clothes of an Amir Oreth, and then they touch, or let's say, for example, let's say the clothes of an Amir Oreth directly touch Tumah. We say we burn that Tumah. It's only a Safik. So what do you mean? So why is our Mishnah saying that you don't burn it because of the Sufik, and that Mishnah is saying even though it's a Sufik, you do?
Okay, who's the one asking?
Rav Shmuel is asking Rav Papa.
The young guy.
The local young Talmud Chacham in Tavach is asking Rav Papa, the visitor.
We're talking about Kusim here.
Yeah, fine, but the Kusi is
that's
on the face of it. Yeah, I mean, the Kusi, yeah. they don't keep Torah so carefully on the face of it. They're no better than the Amir-Oreth. So why by the regular Amir Oreth would we say we do burn the Truma, and here we're saying that, and here we're saying that it's only a Sufik. So Amir Papa, Yehei Rava Dilus Achol Hai Torah L'Shlomo. So first, Papa davens, he says, it should be Hashem's will that this ox should be eaten in peace. In other words, Halavai, I should be able to come up with a good answer that I won't be embarrassed. That he asked me a good question. He made this whole meal look covered me, and now if I can't come up with a good answer, then I'm going to be embarrassed.
So it means he knows
he's not sure. He knows how to come up with a good answer. So, Chacham Mayaskinen. So he says, what's the case over here in our Mishnah? Bekusi Chaver. Our Mishnah is talking about actually a Kusi who is a Chaver. So he knows the dinim of Tumah Vatara. So not like the Amiyaris. Therefore, his clothes are. Therefore, it's on there. So Shmuel asked him, what do you mean? If a boil Kusi Chaver boil nidim a Shabbos wife. If he's a Kusi Chaver, then he knows to not have relations with his wife when she's going to be a nidya. So how does it work? Then why are you considering a boil nidah? So Rav Papa was so now indeed Rav Papa was embarrassed. He didn't have a good answer to that. Shavke, so he left him, but also Kamed Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, and he went to Rav Shimi Bar Ashi to ask, is there Taka a good answer to that?
When did he ask him? He says, you have an answer?
I don't know. Maybe
he didn't have an answer. He just
asked the question. Yeah, he didn't necessarily have an answer yet. Maybe, I don't know, but
so
okay.
The
I don't know. So, well, that's why Rav Papa Davin, that this ox should be able to be eaten in Shalom. In other words, that I should be able to find a good answer, and then we can sit and talk about this, about these dinim over a good state.
Is that before eating the ox?
Yeah, it doesn't say, right. So he went to the Shimi Bar Ashi to ask. By the way, the Aruch on there, by the way, has an interesting pshetel on what was going on over here. He says that when Rav Shmuel shechted an ox for him, usually you find in the Gemara and a lot of times when you have an important guest coming, the expression is they shechted for him egla tilsa, a third calf, which means either a calf that was born third to its mother, which is better quality, or that it's a third of its growth, or whatever it is. Anyway, that's the usual thing. So why over here, egla tilsa is the expression in various places in the Gemara. So why over here, after the Shem, what? Tilsa means three, but it means three or a third or whatever. Anyway, whatever. So why over here, Ephesus, this sort of Shmuel shechting for him an ox. So the Papa realized that actually what it is he's trying to hint to him that I'm asking you about something where shor shochot lefanecha. Where you have an expression, we had it earlier in our Masechta, shor shochot lefanecha, like so to speak, you have a shechted ox in front of you, you have an actual fact in front of you, it's not just a question of a hypothetical suffix, you have an actual case in front of you, what's the din? So therefore, like he wants to know an actual answer, and so the Papa is realizing, after all, you know, I don't have a good answer. So he went to Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. Amalei, so Rav Shimi Bar Ashi tells him, "My time alay mishanislei. Why didn't you answer this, Rav Shmuel? I can tell you an answer. No, of course we're talking about the Kusi is an Amoret. He's not a Chaver, because yes, he's a Chaver. He has no business being Boil Nidah. But the Kusi shetomal. Suppose the Kusi had just gone to the mikveh, but all of the daras al bigdei chaver. He went then and stepped on clothes of a chaver. So he stepped on clothes of a chaver, the nogu b'truma, and now those clothes of the chaver in turn touched truma. So the question is, was he metame them or not? What? The ozlo bigdei chaver and nogu b'truma. Then the clothes of the chaver went and touched truma. So what happened? Right. So what happened? The imishum truma sama oret. Are you going to say there's a problem with truma sama oret? There's not. Hatovel, like he just toivol. So obviously, whatever truma of ama oret he could have, we're not worried about at the moment. The imishum boil nida. So then the only question is, was he boil nida? Well then, sofik boal bekorev, sofik le boal bekorev. First of all, you have a sofik. Did he do that recently? If it wasn't that recently, then his 7 days of truma may be over anyway. And then in that case, if he toivled, then good. Remember, we said before, boil nidah is tummy for 7 days.
Right.
But we know he went to the mikvah. We don't know how recent.
He went day earlier.
No. That was before we were talking about the women go a day earlier than they're supposed to.
Right.
So let's say, for example, let's say, fine, his wife doesn't know that or whatever. They have their own pshetlach in Torah, and therefore she went a day early. So what happened? Let's say he had relations with her on Sunday where he said they should have waited until Monday. Fine, he's told me for 7 days, but we don't know how long ago those 7 days were. The 7 days may well have already been over. Now he went to the mikveh, so it's only a suffix whether he's still within the 7 days of being royal mikveh. He could have gone to the mikveh for any number of reasons, whatever, because he touched the sheriff, let's say, I don't know.
So
first of all, we don't even know whether he's even within the 7 days of being coming for a boil nidah. So maybe his tevila may actually have helped. The imtim saloima bal bekarev, and even if you're going to say that he did have relations with his wife recently, and therefore he might still be a boil nidah, fine. Sofik is shlimatu yoruk, sofik lo shlimatu. After all, you have the sofik. We said the first reason why the women are considered nidus and the husbands are considered boiler nidus is because they may have a yellow discharge and then afterwards a red discharge, and then they're going to mistakenly count the days beginning from the yellow discharge in the case of a nidah. But it's only a sofik, hishlimatu yoruk, sofik lo shlimatu. It's only a sofik whether she previously had a yellow discharge and then considered her 7 days of nidah to begin from that or not.
Yellow discharge is what?
We said it's dami yorek. We said that the chachamim say it's tahor, and that's the halacha. So therefore, it's not matame her. She's not a nidah. But we said at the beginning.
Yorek is yellow.
What? Yorek is yellow. So we said before, we said on Amud Aleph that you could have a case, let's say, where she has a yellow discharge on Sunday, then she has a red discharge on Monday. The halacha is she's only going to be tamei as a nidah for Monday, so therefore her 7 days of nidah begin on Monday and end the following Sunday, and she goes to the mikveh Sunday night. Meanwhile, this kursi woman thinks that she actually became nidah on Sunday, and therefore that whatever happened, the bleeding on Monday doesn't matter because within the 7 days anyway, and therefore she ends up going to the mikveh Matzah Shabbos. But that's only a suffix whether that happened. So you have spaces. So therefore we have a spaces. You have a suffix on top of a suffix. Was he boil his wife when she was a nidah? Was he boiled recently enough to still be a boiled nidah? And even if it was recently enough, was this one of the months where she had this kind of thing happen, where she toivled the day early? So it's a sex faker. But a sex faker lives up in truma. We don't burn truma because of a sex faker. So that's the difference. The case in Taharis is talking about you had a known Amoris who hasn't gone to the mikveh. Let's say, for example, that his clothes, touch truma, so then you burn it. It's only a suffix whether he's tummy. That's one of the six fakers where we burn truma. But here it's a sex faker.
And it's a sex faker because...
Because a suffix whether he was boiled his wife recently, within the last 7 days, and if he wasn't, then he's anyway to her once he goes to the mikveh. Or even if he was boiled her during the last 7 days, was this one of the months where she had dam yorek and then dam odin?
Does he go back for business?
If he boils during the 7 days and doesn't go to the mikveh.
Then he told me, but we're saying he just came out of the mikveh and then he stepped in.
No.
Yeah. So the question is, the typical mishum big day amoret. Okay, but don't you have anyway a reason why you should say that anyway you have the concept these are clothes of an amoret and the omamar big day amoret midras l'prushin. We anyway have the rule that the clothes of an amoret are considered midras, even if the amoret again is not known to be a zog or whatever. Nevertheless, because he's not careful with tumah v'tahara, we still say if a porush, meaning a chaver, steps on those clothes, then he becomes tamei. So in this case over here, the kusi stepped on the chaver's clothes, but he himself, the pastor, was wearing clothes. So therefore his clothes, fine. He himself went to the mikveh. His clothes didn't go to the mikveh. So his clothes are still the clothes of an amoret. So they should be what?
Yeah.
So therefore they should be matame, the clothes of the chaver. Amalei b'kusi orum. So he answers him the cases over here where the kusi is undressed. He just came out of the mikveh. He hasn't put on his clothes yet, and then he stepped on the clothes of the parush. So as far as his clothes being tameh, there's no clothes of his to be worried about. And as far as his body, we said it's only a speck steak or whether he's tameh, and therefore there's no issue.
The only place that he just walked out of mikveh, and was. Why is the other person by the mikvah? I guess most of them are going mikvah.
Now, the chavur could be toveling for any number of reasons. The chavur could just be toveling because it's in the morning and he's toveling like a chassid toveled every morning. I don't know.
Yeah, but he toveled when he's back in something.
Right. Tosfos points out you can't just say that he was barefoot, but he was wearing clothes, because the problem is if he was wearing clothes that his wife sat on when she was a nida, then the clothes would still be an avatuma and they would still be matami him again. That's why we have to say that we're talking about that the kusi was undressed completely, and therefore there's no possibility that he's wearing clothes that his wife sat on. Tosfos also says, I mean, you could also say, let's say, for example, the Gemara could have also said that, let's say, for example, it's talking about suppose the kusi did Tovel's clothes, or suppose he borrowed clothes from a chaver. Or whatever, the point is that you can have scenarios where the only possible, there's no issue of big day amar, the only possibility is the kusi himself, Tomei, is a boil nida. It's only a spec staker whether he is. Therefore, you don't burn truma for a spec staker. Yes. So that's the answer to Rabbi Shmuel's question.
If he's going to mix for the kusi, he realizes he has to mix for the kusi. So that he knows that the clothes is wearing also.
No, first of all, he doesn't know or he doesn't care about the takana de rabbanon, that his clothes are always big day amaretz. The whole concept of big day amaretz is matami is only de rabbanon. And in fact, we're going to see in the next piece of Gemara that we have exceptions to it. So
of course, he was born with, which means he has a real tumor. When after 7 days, he goes to mikvah, he doesn't have any. Doesn't really have to toggle his clothes.
Okay, so whether he has to toggle his clothes, that's another question, but maybe he doesn't realize that he needs to, that's the point. But in any case, he being an Amoretz, as far as halacha is concerned, his clothes are going to be matame anyway, just whether we consider him boil nidder or not.
Wouldn't always be a problem if that's the case?
That's what we're saying. We said in the Mishnah that if we touch his clothes and we wear his clothes or whatever and go into the Bais Mikdash, it's only a suffix or a sex baker, and therefore you don't burn, and therefore you don't burn truma, and you don't burn korban for going into the Bais
Mikdash. Even though he doesn't know that he has to pay his clothes.
Right. Because not necessarily, that he was boil nidda, right. Okay, then the Mishnah says, so now we talk about...
That story doesn't end, like you wouldn't know what it's...
So now we talk about kusim. Now let's start talking about tzedukim. Bnei tzedukim, the daughters of the tzedukim. So we know that tzedukim are a little bit like the kusim in the sense that they only believe in Torah Shabbat, but on the other hand, they're not quite so removed from real Yiddishkeit as the kusim. For example, the kusim had a Beit Mikdash of their own on Har Gerizim. They weren't even Oilu L'Regel to Yerushalayim, as opposed to the tzedukim at least did that. Okay, so Bnei Tzedukin, Bizman Shenogul Olechus Tzedukin, so wait, we're going to talk. Bizman Shenogul Olechus B'dachei Abisehen, when they're accustomed to following in their parents' practices, in other words, when they follow the rules of Tzedukin and they don't keep Torah Shabbat there, Haren Kekusius, then they have the same din as Kusius, because you have the same issues as we said before, that they don't know exactly when they're Nida and Zava and when they're not, and so they're suspected of being Nida or Zava, and their husbands are suspected of being Berlin, etc.
The Yidden came from countries where they didn't keep the Torah Shabbat Pei.
What countries did they not keep the Torah Shabbat Pei? There's no such countries. They had
India and Pakistan.
I don't know about India and Pakistan. Russia. I don't know. I don't know what Jews. There weren't Jews in Russia in those days. I don't know. If they knew Torah Shabbat Pei, then they're considered Chaverim. If not, then they're considered Tzedukim. I don't know. Poshul Olechas B'Dauchei Yisrael, if then they left the ways of the Tzedukim and started following regular Jewish practices, Harein Ki Yisraelis, then they become like regular Jewish women. Rabbi Yossi Omer La'olam Hein Ki Yisraelis. Rabbi Yossi says, no, by default, we always consider them like Yisraelis. Ad She Yifreshul Olechas B'Dauchei Yisraelis, unless we actually see that they're following in the ways of the Tzedukim. Maybe? I don't know. So Yibayel, who the Gemara asked, we have a question. Stoma Mai, what about if we don't know one way or the other? So the Mishnah had said if they go b'dauchei abiseihem, then they're like tzedukim, and if they go like dauchei yisrael, then they're kiyisraelis. So that's if we know one way or the other. What if we don't know? So we see a tzeduki girl. We don't know how she's acting. What's the din? Tashma.
Tashma
meaning we don't know one way or the other. We meet a Tzuki guru. We don't know, according to the Tanakhama, who says that if they go in the ways of Tzukim, then they're like Kosius, and if not, then they're like Israelis. So we don't know. We meet a Tzuki guru. She sits on a yid's clothing, let's say, or she touches truma, or do we consider her a nidder or not?
She's single.
Even when they were single in those days, truma and kodshim, they still have to truma.
Maybe not.
And well, let's see. The beginning of the Mishnah says, if they follow in the ways of their parents, then they're kosius, implying ha stoma, only because we know that they're following in their parents' ways, we consider them a kosius. Ha stoma, implying that if it's stam, we don't know one way or the other, then ki Israelis. Then they'd be like Israelis. However, the Gemara says that's not a solid proof. Aim a safer. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. Poshul alechas b'dafe Yisrael. If they abandon the ways of the Tzedukim and start following the ways of regular Jews, harein ki Yisraelis, then they're like Yisraelis. Ha stoma kakotis, implying the other way around. Only if we know that they're following halacha are they like Yisraelis. Otherwise, the default is they're like kakotis. So one way or the other, we can't see from the Mishnah. Okay, so we can't prove one way or the other from the Mishnah. One or the other part of the Mishnah over here is being inexact, and we don't yet know what the Tanakhama would say.
The
Reisha contradicts the Sefer. Right. Toshma, however, we can prove it's not. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yossi Omer La'olam Hein Ki Yisraelis. Rabbi Yossi says that we always, by default, consider them to be like Israelis. Ad sheyifreshu lalachas v'dalchei avisehen, unless they abandon the ways of good Yiddishkeit and start following the ways of Tzedukim. Miklal the Tanakhama Sava Stomach Kakosius. So the Tanakhama, who's obviously disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi, must say that Minach Stam, we consider them like Kakosius. Shnami Nosa, that proves it. So the Tanakhama would say that the default is that they're like Kakosius, unless we know that they follow Halacha. And Rabbi Yossi would say the other way around. The default is we consider them like Israelis unless we know that they follow the ways of the Tzedukim. It's an interesting point, by the way, that Achronim talk about. The Rambam does not bring this whole halacha b'chlal. Now, why not? So it's one thing with the Kusim. The Rambam didn't bring the whole business with Kusim because, after all, we don't, nowadays, the Kusim are considered goyim gomorim. So it's not relevant to halacha. But what about the Tzedukim? I mean, okay, in the Rambam's time, you didn't really have Tzedukim anymore, but, for example, you still have the Karoyim or whatever. One answer is, because this whole, for the most part, this issue, are they Tomei or not, is only relevant when we have a Bith Mikdash and we have Trum of a Kodshim. In the time of Mashiach, there's not going to be any Tzedukim anymore, because Va'amech Kolam Tzedishim, everybody's going to keep Torah and Mitzvot. So therefore, the Rambam didn't find the need. Tzedukim are still part of the Jewish people, they're not following Halacha, but they're still, the point is that all Jews in Mashiach times will be keeping Torah and Mitzvot. There won't be any Tzedukim or Karoyim or what have you. They're going to do Tshuva, they'll be healed, right? And therefore, so the Rambam didn't find the need to bring these Halachas in Yad HaChazaka, so they're not Negev for the future. I don't know, so if they don't, then they'll stop at Mamzer, that's a whole other issue, but whatever, the point is that, okay. So that's another question. I'm sorry, Yochanan.